Hello, this is Janice Schweizer with the Pantograph for Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with an article entitled Council Debates ISU Art Gallery. Critics Call Space Giveaway Lease Okayed by Kevin Barlow. The Illinois State University Art Galleries will continue to use the West End ground floor of the Uptown Station parking deck rent-free for the next 5 years, but some normal city council members are not happy with the deal. Under a lease approved in 2013, ISU paid an annual lease amount tied to the cost of the build-out of the space. The lease payment was intended to repay the town with interest for the cost of finishing the roughed-in vacant space, and now all of the $2.8 million in build-out costs have been repaid. The council voted 4-3 to continue the lease under its current terms. In other business, the council approved a special use permit for the Green Solution at 501 West Northtown Road to expand into the sale of adult-use recreational cannabis. Last fall, the lease at 11 Uptown Circle expired, but the town and ISU amended the lease to extend the term of the lease through February, giving officials time to investigate whether grant money to build the parking deck required rent payment by ISU. Federal transportation authorities who oversee the Tiger grant used to fund the project determined that rent is not required under the grant. This space is roughly half as large as the one uptown space across Beaufort Street, and that rents for $35,000. And so if this is half as large, then ISU is receiving roughly $17,500 in benefit, said Councilman Stan Nord. It is obvious that ISU is benefiting from this deal, but what advantage are the taxpayers getting from this? City Manager Pam Reese said the town benefits from visitors to the art gallery. This is a relationship with Illinois State, and we value that relationship with Illinois State, she said. This brings about 17,000 guests to the gallery and to Uptown. The Convention and Visitors Bureau believes that for every guest, if they stay the day and not even overnight, that equates to about $70 per person investment. We believe there is a value to university galleries in that space. Nord countered that a business in that space would generate tax money. Councilman Kevin McCarthy said that prior to the art gallery, the space was a dirt floor attached to a ground floor parking garage. Illinois State put more than $2 million into it, and it seems like a heck of a deal for the town to me, he said. They put a free tourist attraction in a formerly dirt floor. If you look at it from a real estate perspective, it was once just a white box with no plumbing, no electrical, and just raw space, and not a real good spot for a retail business, added Normal Mayor Chris Coos. The council considered but ultimately voted down an amendment to make it a 5-year lease, but with a provision for annual renewal that could be ended with proper notice. A motion to table the matter to renegotiate the deal with ISU was also defeated. We need to keep in mind the value we have strategically placed on our partnership with Illinois State University and to cultivate and grow the town and gown relationship, said Councilwoman Kathleen Lorenz. Illinois State is a huge asset to us, and for us to be potentially renegotiating this here at the table is a disservice to this valued partner and really goes counter to our strategic decisions. Frankly, if I am ISU out here listening to this, I would start to wonder how strong this town and gown relationship is, and I'm a little concerned about that right now. Nord, Karen Smith, and Scott Preston voted against the agreement, which passed 4-3. The Green Solution currently operates a medical cannabis dispensary at the Northtown Road site and will await word on licensing from the state of Illinois to add recreational sales. Approval by Normal was a requirement by the state. A timetable on when the state will consider the request is unknown. Last week, the Normal Zoning Board of Appeals voted to recommend granting the permit. In a report to council members, town planner Mercy Davidson said the proposed special use permit meets the general special use standards, including those specific to adult use cannabis dispensaries. Nord asked if the Church of Christ nearby had any issues with the plans. There were no comments at the Zoning Board of Appeals public hearing, said Davison. We sent out notices to the property owner and placed a sign in the front yard of the property, and that is how we get most of the comments in opposition on properties. But there were no comments opposing it. The firm operates from 8 until 10 p.m. each day. Next, we'll look at local and state information, beginning on page A3. First article is, New Administrator Says All Deserve Health Care. McKnight, Local Community Vital to Agency's Work. This is by Paul Schweit. Jessica McKnight learned her first public health lessons growing up in Clay County in southern Illinois. I learned the sense of community, the importance of cooperation, and that everything starts and ends locally, she said. She also learned to treat people with respect. Those lessons have served McKnight in her 10 years as a public health professional, and she has brought them to her new role as administrator of the McLean County Health Department. McKnight, 34, was hired in December by the McLean County Board of Health to lead the department, whose 83 employees have responsibilities ranging from restaurant inspections to communicable disease control. She succeeds Camille Rodriguez, who served as Health Department Administrator until she was named McLean County Government Administrator effective June 2019. Longtime Health Department employee Tammy Brooks served as Interim Administrator until McKnight took over last week. McKnight sat down with the Pantograph on Monday. The following questions and answers have been edited for brevity. Question. Tell us about your education and early career. Answer. I went to Southern Illinois University in Carbondale and received a bachelor's degree in public relations, marketing, and journalism. After college, I worked for the Southern Illinois Healthcare Foundation, the FQHC, Federally Qualified Health Center, headquartered in Sauget. While working there, I went to SIU Edwardsville and received a master's degree in public administration. I started doing patient registration and billing and became administrative supervisor. I wore a lot of hats. I worked in hiring, disciplinary, managing schedules, coordinating the staff, and consumer service and billing issues. Question. What did you learn from that? Answer. I learned that I can handle a lot of things on my plate and I thrive on being challenged. I learned a lot about what health care means to people and how much it benefits people. We are all deserving of health care. Question. After 5 years, you moved to Farmington, Missouri to work for the St. Francis County Health Center, that county's health department. What did you do there? Answer. I was assistant director for 2.5 years, helping the director to oversee daily operations, working with contracts and grants, assisting with the budget, human resources, and media. Then I was director for 3 years. In the last year, we were really focused on the opioid crisis. I learned a lot about public health and the importance of prevention, education, and the sense of community. I learned the importance of partnerships. Together, we can do more. Question. Why were you interested in becoming administrator of the McLean County Health Department? Answer. It's a larger staff and a larger budget. It gives me an opportunity to build my skill set and grow and learn. Question. What do you bring to this position? Answer. An open mind and a willingness to listen. I love to learn. I may not know all the answers, but I will find them. Question. Why is public health important? Answer. It's everywhere, from washing your hands to clean air. It keeps us safe and healthy. People benefit from our work every day, even if they don't know we're doing it. Foodborne illness and vaccine-preventable diseases would be more prevalent if we don't do our job. Question. What else would you want people to know about you? Answer. I play tennis. I love college football. I run, even though I'm not good at it. I like to travel, and I'm teaching myself to play the piano. Next, we have normal store preps for recreational pot. Jushi Buying Green Solution promises a quick ramp up, also by Paul Sweech. The new owners of the Green Solution are preparing for a, quote, quick ramp up in business if the medical cannabis dispensary in North Normal is approved to expand into selling cannabis for recreation for adults. That said, it is always a primary objective of ours to ensure that medical patients have adequate access to medical cannabis, even with supply shortages impacting adult use sales, Eric Maniff, co-president of Jushi, said Monday. Jushi, a global cannabis and hemp operator with retail distribution, cultivation, and processing operations, is buying the Green Solution at 501 West Northtown Road. Mouth responded to Pantograph questions via email. Jushi's request for a special use permit to become Normal's first recreational cannabis retailer was approved by the Normal Zoning Board of Appeals last week, and the Normal City Council on Monday signed off on it. The Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation also must sign off on the proposal. We are working with local city officials to get the site prepared for transition to adult use to create a seamless execution, particularly related to the expected additional demand of products, Mouse said. Jushi looks forward to opening the store for adult use as soon as possible. He said the Green Solution and other dispensaries being acquired by Jushi in Illinois would be renamed Beyond/Hello. Mouth did not specify how many employees may be added, but said, "We will appropriately staff our locations and will abide by local and state laws and regulations." Jushi looks forward to representing the Bloomington Normal and the Metro East area as the program continues to expand in Illinois, he said. We are excited about the continued growth of cannabis to provide additional jobs and tax dollars to the state, along with providing business opportunities to those negatively impacted by the war on drugs in Illinois. He said, we plan to utilize our eligibility under each licensee's location to apply for additional stores. We are excited about how the program is going to grow in Illinois because it has a strong regulatory structure, Mouse said. Additionally, Jushi believes the program has been prepared well at the state and local levels, as seen by its seeming ability to be growing with a quick ramp-up, especially when compared to other adult-use markets. Next, we have Man Nets Prison for Downtown Car Chase by Kelly Watznauer. The man who led a police chase through downtown Bloomington in October pleaded guilty Monday and was sentenced to 6 years in prison. David Hughes, 26, pleaded guilty to aggravated fleeing and eluding in a stolen vehicle. "Yeah, I know I'm guilty," Hughes said, as Judge Scott Drzewski explained and verified that the defendant knew the details of the plea. In exchange for his guilty plea, the state dropped 6 felonies: possession of a stolen motor vehicle, unlawful delivery of a look-alike substance, 2 counts of obstructing justice, aggravated fleeing or attempting to elude police, and aggravated fleeing and eluding. 3 traffic citations, including reckless driving, driving with a suspended license, and leaving the scene of a crash with property damage, were also dismissed. According to Bloomington Police and the probable cause statement for Hughes' case, a police street crimes unit had arranged a drug transaction between Hughes and a confidential source on October 16th. After the transaction, uniformed officers attempted to approach him and take him into custody. Hughes, who was listed as homeless at the time of his arrest, then attempted to flee the scene at a high rate of speed and crashed the Jeep Wrangler he was driving. The vehicle had been reported stolen out of Michigan. After a brief foot chase, Hughes returned to the Jeep and fled the area, eventually heading west on Interstate 74. He was later arrested in Peoria by local police. In addition to 6 years in the Department of Corrections, Hughes is required to pay $4,310.50 in financial restitution to cover the cost of repairs for the Bloomington Police Squad car that was struck by the Jeep during the October incident. Hughes will receive credit for the 111 days he has spent in McLean County custody. Next, we have Teen Shot in Arm Police Are Investigating by Kevin Barlow. A 17-year-old male is in stable condition at a Bloomington hospital after a shooting incident Saturday night. Police said at approximately 7:30 p.m., officers were dispatched to OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center's emergency room for a person shot. The victim was shot in the forearm, police said, during a disagreement in an empty parking lot in the 2600 block of Danbury Drive. There have been no arrests made and there were no other injuries reported. Bloomington detectives are still investigating the incident. Anyone with information should call BPD Detective Steve Moreland at 309-434-2359 or smoreland@cityblm.org. If you wish to remain anonymous, please call McLean County Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. If your call leads to the arrest and indictment of suspects, you may be eligible for a reward up to $1,000. Next, we have District 87 Names Officials and Principals by Lenore Sabota. The retirement of a top administrator and a principal and creation of a new special education position is triggering administrative changes in District 87. The changes include an assistant superintendent of human resources to succeed the retiring Herschel Hanna, an assistant director of special education, and four principals and an assistant principal. Pending board approval, February 12th, they will begin their new positions on July 1st. All come to these new roles with significant administrative experience, Superintendent Barry Riley said on Monday. They have proven themselves qualified to step into these roles. Sherilyn Thomas, principal of Bloomington Junior High School since 2012, will succeed Hannah. She started at BJHS as a teacher in 1997, becoming assistant principal in 2002, and then associate principal and athletic director in 2007. Four external candidates were interviewed, Riley said, but Thomas brings a set of skills and talents that we think are an excellent fit. Katie Hansen, principal of Stevenson Elementary School since 2014, will move into the special education job, which was created to provide additional support to all district schools in the areas of special education, crisis prevention and intervention, and restorative practices. While at Stevenson, she implemented restorative practices and trauma-based practices throughout the school. Riley said teachers and staff at a number of buildings have expressed concern about not only special education students, but others with severe emotional behaviors. This is a concern for all of us in education, said Riley. The district is considering adding another school resource officer and has talked with the city of Bloomington about it, he said. Bloomington High School and Bloomington Junior High School each have a school resource officer. The new position will help bring all of these things together at schools across the district, said Riley. These moves open the door for the domino effect to happen, leading to a higher number of principal changes than usual, he explained. Other changes include Amanda Jarvis, associate principal at Bloomington High School since 2012, will succeed Thomas as principal of Bloomington Junior High School. Lynn Shook, assistant principal of BJHS since 2013, will succeed Hansen as principal of Stevenson Elementary School. Jen McGowan, Sheridan Elementary School principal since 2013, will succeed Shook at BJHS as BJHS assistant principal. Daniel Behrens-Haar, principal at Sarah Raymond School of Early Childhood Education since 2007, will succeed McGowan as Sheridan's principal, and Guillermina Delgado, a bilingual teacher at Bent Elementary School since 2006, will become Bent's principal, succeeding Jeff Geringer, who is retiring. Bent houses District 87's bilingual program. Delgado is the only one in the group of appointments who has not previously had an administrative position, but Riley noted she knows the families at the school, is fluent in Spanish and English, and has a strong understanding of the unique needs of the multilingual learner and will be an outstanding role model. Next, we have ISU taps Long to be Milner Library Dean. Dallas Long has been named Dean of Illinois State University's Milner Library, effective July 1st. Long has been the library's Associate Dean for Information Assets since 2014. He came to ISU in 2008 as Head of Access Services at Milner Library. His annual salary as Dean will be $185,000. Sherry Zeck, who has been interim dean since 2017, will retire June 30th. She began her career at ISU in 1992, teaching film in the School of Theater and Dance. In appointing Long as dean, Vice President of Academic Affairs and Provost Jan Murphy said he is a librarian, administrator, and internationally recognized scholar who will provide leadership at this transformational time. While at Milner Library, Long has participated in developing the library's master plan and initiating efforts in open access, digital publishing, and open educational resources. He is the author of Collaborating for Student Success, How Librarians and Student Affairs Work Together to Enrich Learning and Persistence. Long has a doctoral degree from ISU, two master's degrees from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and a bachelor's degree from Webster University. Next, we have Bloomington Normal Man Accused of Harassing a Witness by Kelsey Watznauer. Witness harassment charges are pending against a Bloomington man in McLean County. Christian Aiken, 19, of the 600 block of South Lee Street, is charged with harassing a witness or a person who might be called as a witness in a pending legal proceeding, with the intent to harass or annoy, according to court documents. He is accused of communicating directly or indirectly in such a manner as to produce mental anguish or emotional distress, or conveyed a threat of injury or damage to the witness between August and January. Details about the case were not available on Monday. A warrant for his arrest was issued January 30th, and he was taken into custody on Monday. He was jailed in lieu of posting bond at $2,335. Here are a couple of items in the State Digest News Roundup. Groups start $10 million legal aid program. Two nonprofit organizations in Chicago have launched a state-funded legal aid program designed to help thousands of immigrants, former inmates, and low-income people across Illinois. The program is called Access to Justice, which will be funded with a $10 million grant in state money. Roughly 60 organizations across Illinois are expected to benefit. An estimated 4,600 people will get full legal representation through the program, according to Arandira Rendon, a vice president of the Resurrection Project, one of two Chicago groups administering the program. She anticipated the funds will pay for about 10,500 legal screenings as well. Her group will offer help to people impacted by immigration policies, including those facing deportation or who need visa help. In Springfield, the IEPA internships target sciences and law. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency has developed a 12-week paid internship program for students in technical fields who want to see regulatory work in the field. Agency Director John Kim says the Engineering Science and Law Internship Program is open to college juniors and seniors and those pursuing graduate studies in engineering, chemistry, natural science, and other science disciplines, as well as in law. There are internships available in 4 IEPA areas, 6 in engineering and 2 each in chemistry and related fields, natural sciences, and the legal department. All internships will be at the IEPA's headquarters or laboratory in Springfield, and applications must be received by February 28th. IDOT event looks to women and minorities. State transportation officials have planned an event next week in Springfield for minority and women-owned businesses. The conference on February 10th and 11th will offer workshops and seminars on topics including finance, insurance, cybersecurity, and making a safe work environment. Acting Illinois Transportation Secretary Omer Osman said the state's $45 billion capital program will make things busier than ever for the agency. We are committed to making our projects more inclusive and competitive so we can get more Illinois businesses participating and reflecting the communities we serve, Osman said in his statement. In Chicago, the ISP questioned on DNA testing backlog. Lawmakers questioned Illinois State Police about the DNA backlog at state crime labs, stating too many cases are waiting on DNA processing. State police say the backlog has been drastically cut down, but state senators worry the delays in processing DNA could mean potential suspects who might otherwise have been arrested and in custody haven't been identified, WLS-TV reported. The backlog went down 16% last year, said Brendan Kelly, director of the Illinois State Police, but the challenge is for every one DNA sample completed, 1.2 are created. State police say at this time there are 14 Chicago homicide cases that are still waiting on DNA processing after more than 1 year. They did not say how many cases less than a year old are waiting for DNA processing. Our goal is a 6-month turnaround on all of our cases, said Robin Woolery, Assistant Deputy Director of the Illinois State Police. We are not there yet, but we are getting there. On a lighter note, we have Hamilton recording coming to film screen by Mark Kennedy. Next year, you'll be able to see the original Broadway cast of Hamilton perform the musical smash from the comfort of a movie theater. The Walt Disney Company said Monday it will distribute a 4-year-old live capture of Lin-Manuel Miranda's show in the United States and Canada on October 15, 2021. The groundbreaking biographical hip-hop show about the life of Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton won 11 Tony Awards and made numerous tours. The film was made at the Richard Rogers Theater on Broadway in June of 2016 and will star all of the original Tony Award winners, including Miranda as Alexander Hamilton, David Diggs as Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson, Renee Elise Goldsberry as Angelica Schuyler, and Leslie Odom Jr. as Aaron Burr. We are thrilled for fans of the show and new audiences across the world to experience what it was like on stage and in the audience when we shot this, said Kyle in a statement. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. Thank you.